Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our text again from 2 Peter, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. What are the them? What are the them of that section of Scripture, the them through which we become partakers of the divine nature? Well, the Apostle Peter tells us, the them are God's precious and very great promises. That is, precious and very great promises to us concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. These promises are what are known as the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, originally a scripture came to be understood to be divided into law and gospel. The people who were talking in that way about Scripture as law and gospel, pastors and theologians, didn't use the word gospel originally. They used the word promise, promise. So in the Holy Word of God, we have God's law, what God demands from us, and God's promises, that is what God has promised to do for us. And what He's promised to do for us is forgive our sin daily because of what His Son Jesus Christ has done for us. But that's not all. That's not all. Through that forgiveness that is granted to us daily by our Father in heaven, that we've been brought into fellowship. We could say friendship with Him, communion, union. And so that we throughout our lives get to know God, our loving Heavenly Father, through His Son better and better and better. In our reading from 1 Peter, it's put this way: His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him, the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory, called us to His own glory and excellence. So being granted faith in His Son Jesus, we begin to learn what in fact is all involved in the divine nature, that is in God, in who He is and how He is. And here we become, as Luther so often noted, imitators of Christ, little Christs. And the church of which we all are a part is understood to be the body of Christ. So in Ephesians we read, He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints, that's us, for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, that's the church, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, we're still in Ephesians here, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined together and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So Ephesians, and so our growing together in Christ, or our becoming more and more like the divine nature itself. As for our reading this evening, the Apostle Peter notes that we are to make every effort to supplement our faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. But that seems like such a tall order, such a tall order. This becoming more and more like Christ, this growing together like Christ in the body of Christ, this partaking of the divine nature itself through Christ. But it is what occurs when we remain in Christ, believing the promises that were made and are made to us by the Word of God, by God Himself. But it is what occurs individually within each and every one of us by ourselves alone. Alone. For none of us can believe for another person. None of us can give our faith to another person, our faith in Jesus Christ. So corporately, we could say we stand individually, as individuals. And so that is why it's the purpose of our meditations this Lenten season to consider individuals. Individuals about whom we read in the Gospel of John, individuals who saw Jesus and heard Jesus and knew Jesus in one way or another. Why? Why this approach during the Lenten season? Why a contemplation of those individuals around the Christ? Well, because what we will find in those individuals, what we'll find is ourselves. We'll find ourselves in those people, those individuals. The fact that each and every one of us, like them, in our unique stations in life, are standing over against our Lord and Savior through faith in Him in a unique way. Each thinking about and wondering about different things, knowing and affirming some, completely unaware of others, for not one of us has the same knowledge and understanding of Christ as another. We are all a hodgepodge of knowledge and ignorances when it comes to Him. How can we understand that? Well, here we can think of those figure skaters in the Olympics, all of whom were world class, the best there is, but all had strengths and all had weaknesses, excelling in one way, struggling in another. And then there's all those other Olympic athletes as well, and in all of the other disciplines, spending their lives learning how to ski the fastest or jump the farthest or skate the quickest, and yet none could do what another did. The speed skater would die if sent off the ski jumping hill. The snowboarder collapsed after 100 yards if he was put on cross-country skis. The bobsledder would break into pieces if forced to do multiple flips off some sort of ski jump. So it is with each person around our Lord and Savior Jesus in His passion. Their faith, if present, was expressed in so many different ways. And yet for those who did believe in the Christ as their Savior from sin and death, as their rescuer from this world and all of its confusion and arrogance and foolishness, for all who did believe, they were through faith becoming partakers of the divine nature, coming into union and fellowship with God, their lives being altered, their way of life changed to look more and more and more like God. Tonight then, firstly, we think of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, whose purpose was to prepare the way amongst the people of Judea for the arrival of the Christ. For that purpose, and that purpose alone, was he born. Conceived miraculously to aged parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, encountering Christ for the first time while yet he was in his mother's womb. John would be a Nazarite dedicated to a life with God, living in the wilderness and preaching that the children of Israel, that the Jews, that all people should repent of their sins. What sins? All the ways we think and speak and act which do not reflect the divine nature of God. For that is what sin is. In Greek, literally, a missing of the mark, a not doing what we should do, even as we attempt to do it. Recovering from surgery 2 weeks ago now, across the street there in the hospital, I spent hours and hours watching images on the television of beautiful places all over the earth, unbelievably beautiful places. And there were also images of birds flying and fish swimming, of whales and dolphins and penguins and flowers and trees and plants of all sorts, all beautiful, all so beautiful. And it is that beauty of the creation of God that those Olympic skaters, those figure skaters, were trying to imitate somewhat. I mean, not all the time, but most of the time. And when they did, even for a moment, what a wonderful thing to see. But so often they fell short. Or it was not something that was exactly right, or seemed to be an attempt at something, but it failed before it began. Well, that's what sin is. It's a missing of the mark. But not just any mark. It's a missing of the mark of the divine nature. So Romans chapter 3, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Fallen short of the glory of God. Sin is therefore simply corruption, corruption of the excellence, the glory of God. Realize this, so the preaching of John the Baptist, realize this, that we are not as we should be. Yet there is one who is. There is one who is the very Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who removes us from our corruption. He is Jesus Christ, the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. Unlike the disciples of Jesus at that time and for quite some time after, John the Baptist knew who Jesus was, and what is more, he confessed who Jesus was to those who came to hear him, to confess their sin and contrition, and pointing them ultimately to the Christ who by his Spirit would baptize them and begin to make them more and more and more like God himself. This is, of course, what we hope pastors do, what we hope pastors should do. They're preaching and teaching. Oh, that every pastor we had was a John the Baptist-like figure among us, boldly proclaiming the Word of God to us. And yet, in every Christian, there should be a budding John the Baptist, one who has the courage to share the Word of God with others. And that is what the Apostle Peter in his first epistle encourages when he writes these familiar words to us. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Proclaim the excellencies of God. Us. Well, yes, yes. But each in the position in which we find ourselves in this life, to the extent of our knowledge and ability, yes, all of us fall short. All of us sin, but through Christ, our falling short is set aside. And our inability is overlooked. Our lack of capacity ignored. As our sins daily are forgiven. Being brought into fellowship with God, encounter His divine nature, its glories and excellencies towards which we are encouraged daily to strive and to express. During the season of Lent, through the various people around our Savior, we will see how this occurs. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus into life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the canticle.